This is their new hoax. But, you know, we did something that's been pretty amazing.
We're all feeling the impact of coronavirus. Today, Qantas stood down 20,000 people, and of course, they're joining a long list.
If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying.
Well, why the big secret? People are smart. They can handle it.
A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
Welcome to Nursing Review's new podcast. Each episode, we'll look at a different aspect of the pandemic, tackling myths, talking research, and keeping you informed.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant, where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost...
My name is Connor Burke, and this is the Nursing Review Coronavirus Podcast. As the pandemic rages on, we continue to seek answers as to how COVID-19 developed. Although as it stands, we, and by we I mean scientists and academics, are fairly sure that the virus jumped from animal to animal before it was ready to jump to human beings. Some combination of civet cats and pangolins are the chief suspects thus far. But what about other viruses? Which other viruses lurk around waiting to make that leap from animal to human? Joining us to discuss zoonotic diseases here in Australia is Dr. Sasha Seltzer-Braid, a virologist from UNSW. Sasha, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Connor.
First off, can you describe what exactly constitutes a zoonotic disease?
Yeah, so zoonotic infection means a disease that occurs in animals, but that disease is able to jump the species barrier and infect humans. Mm-hmm. Sometimes able to then infect human to human, but not always.
Right. So I'm thinking here, you know, famous examples like the rat and bubonic plague, and I know that's historical, but I'm guessing that that's still a possibility and that would be a culprit. But let's talk about some animals here in Australia that have the potential to spread these disease to us.
Yeah, so in Australia, we have a lot of beautiful animals, as we know. But some of them may have diseases that can spread to humans. And a really good example is parrot fever, which is caused by the bacterium Chlamydia psitticae, which is carried in wild birds, in particular parrots and rainbow lorikeets and birds like that. And people can catch that infection by inhaling feces or dust containing the feces of wild birds infected with that that bacterium.
Right. And I believe that there was an outbreak of this. I don't know if outbreak is the right word. Maybe you'll correct me. In the Blue Mountains quite recently. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, that's right. So they're very small numbers. In 2018, there was 7 cases of this parrot fever, which is also called psittacosis. So, and this year there was a few cases in the Blue Mountains. It's probably not an outbreak, but there's certainly an increase in numbers of cases. And it's concerning because it's actually quite a severe lung infection. Mm-hmm. And it has similar symptoms to, you know, colds and flus. And probably COVID as well now. So mm-hmm. It might be easy to mistake it for something else if you don't sort of dig a bit deeper and find out that it's caused by this bacterium.
Mm. So how then? I mean, obviously now anything any of us have, we're going to go get tested for COVID-19 because that's the way the world we're living in at the minute. But how then did people find out that it was parrot fever?
So in the Blue Mountains, they do have outbreaks or cases of Chlamydia psitticae every few years. And so I think if you're living in that area, people are, or the doctors are a bit more aware of that infection, and they will hopefully ask you, you know, have you had any contact with wild birds? Do you have a bird feeder outside your home? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you have a domestic pet that's a bird that has some contact with wild birds as well. Mm-hmm. And so dig a little bit deeper into the possible cause of symptoms.
And in this case, as you said at the start, it is not always the ability, these diseases don't always jump from then human to human. But in this case, did the virus jump from human to human, or was it just single cases from birds?
Yeah, single cases from birds. So, yeah, but as you say, some pathogens do develop that ability to jump from human to human quite successfully, and SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, is a good example, recent example of a virus that can do just that.
Of course. Now, a little bit of a tangent, but I'm thinking back to another life where when I worked construction, and there was one particular building we weren't allowed to go in on this one job because pigeons had nested there. And now, if I remember correctly, someone said that lots of pigeon droppings can cause cancer or something along those lines. Now, I'm not sure if that's quite correct, but I'm sure that someone did say that, you know, breathing that in could cause some sort of disease. Is that right?
So I'm not sure about cancer, but certainly birds like pigeons, rainbow lorikeets, ibis, they have a lot of viruses, and most of them are bird specific, but you know, there's always that possibility that there's a virus that could jump into humans. And we know, you know, from bird flu, avian influenza, that, you know, there is a possibility there that bird viruses can jump into humans.
And are they, you know, in the cases of birds, but, you know, and obviously the most zoonotic diseases, are they often lung, when they get to humans, do they often exacerbate lungs, or are there other sort of symptoms, other versions?
So that's a really good question. I mean, it depends on the way that you get infected. So if it's something that you breathe in, then it's going to probably be an infection in your lung. But if you are scratched by a wild animal, because you might be helping it, you know, it's gets... Sorry, maybe I'll take that back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it probably depends on the way that you are infected. So if you breathe in the dust from their feces or their feathers, then that could cause a lung infection. But if you maybe share food with them or get a scratch from a wild animal, then that will be a different type of infection. So
moving away from kind of birds and parrots, which maybe, you know, or ones that most of us might not come in to contact with, what other animals would you say are slightly dangerous to us in this way that, you know, most Aussies maybe wouldn't know?
Yeah, so I think it's really important, particularly for people who are immunocompromised or elderly or might be pregnant, to be aware of some of the diseases that are out there. And if you're pregnant, then toxoplasmosis is probably something that you have heard of before. And it's caused by the parasite Toxoplasma gondii, which causes a disease in cats. And so the cat can be infected with this parasite. And if a pregnant woman becomes infected with this parasite, it can cause miscarriage. So pregnant women really need to be careful around cats. Don't clean the kitty litter tray, and don't touch anything in the garden that can be contaminated by cat feces.
Wow. And any other sort of, I mean, dogs and things like that, are they just as kind of, or are we just as susceptible to something that they might catch?
So that's a great question. Dogs get viruses as well. A really common one is parvovirus. But the dogs are generally vaccinated for the parvovirus, and it's not the type of parvovirus that can infect humans. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that there's so much of a risk from dogs. But yeah, as far as I know, it's the cats that carry toxoplasma, which is something to be really mindful of.
And I mean, there was some anecdotal evidence, and I don't think you know, we've got right to the bottom of it, but that regular domestic cats could catch coronavirus. I'm not sure if that has been fully proved yet, but I guess that's something to think about also.
Yeah, so there have been sort of globally very, very small numbers, cats and dogs actually. And I think there was a study that came out of China that showed that a cat could be infected with SARS-CoV-2 and pass it to another cat. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of evidence there, but the numbers are so, so low. It's not something that I think we should be concerned about in general. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if someone does have COVID-19, try and stay away from your pets as you would stay away from other people to prevent the spread of the infection.
Mm-hmm. So how rare are we talking here? And you mentioned the numbers in the Blue Mountains there, but, you know, ballpark, how many people get diseases from animals? You know, you mentioned ibis. I think turtles or tortoise are another one. You know, how many Aussies are getting kind of diseases from, you know, animals that roam freely around here every year?
Yeah, so globally, it's estimated that around 60% of all of our human pathogens are zoonotic in origin, but I think the numbers are probably quite small unless you count something like swine flu, which is now, you know, one of the dominant flu strains that circulate. So they're not very high numbers, but I think it's just worth really being mindful of, especially for people who are in those high risk categories, to be a little bit careful around wild animals and even domestic pets if you think that you might be at risk.
Mm. Now, obviously, we're all thinking about the way we interact now with, you know, surfaces, each other, but, you know, obviously animals as well as a society, because, you know, we're pretty sure that this is how COVID-19 has come about. Is there anything that we do as a society that exacerbates this, or is just this the cost of living with animals?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I think you're right. We do have a very close relationship with animals, both domestic and wild, just because we're encroaching more and more on their environment. Zoonotic infections, in particular viral zoonotic infections, and by that I'm thinking of Ebola, probably came from bats as well, swine flu from pigs, MERS came out of the Middle East, possibly from bats as well. So all of those places, and particularly countries where people have a very close relationship with animals because they rely on them for a food source or for their livelihood, that brings us closer and closer to animals. And as we've been talking about, animals do have diseases that potentially can cross into humans. And then there's a potential for that organism, or if it's a virus, to mutate so that it can jump from human to human and spread more effectively.
I think what I'm learning from this is no more kissing your parrot or your cat is probably the best advice that we can give. I'm curious, do we know what conditions lead to an animal suddenly, or the virus an animal carries, suddenly being able to make that leap to us?
So there's a few things that need to happen, but it's mainly that the receptor on the cells of the organism that the pathogen, and in this case I'm talking about viruses because that's what I work on. Mm. So the virus has to mutate to be able to infect the proteins on the outside of the cells, and the proteins will be different on pig cells or dog cells or whale cells or human cells. And so the virus has to mutate so that it can jump that species barrier and then again pass easily from human to human. So it's something that happens fairly, it's rare, but I would say that there's definitely examples from history, and SARS-CoV-2 will sort of be added to the list of viruses that have been able to make that jump from animals to humans and then human to human really effectively.
And again, is that just the cost of doing business? Is it an evolutionary thing? Is it a thing that's just going to happen no matter what we do?
I think it probably is going to happen no matter what we do. I don't think we can ever get rid of these pathogens. We can't, you know, we have to live with animals. We have a very close relationship to them. They're our pets. They're, you know, our fauna. But it's about probably just being aware of our interactions with them and being a bit more careful. And in the home, you know, washing your hands, not sharing your food with your pets, and being careful not to get bites or scratches from a wild animal.
Well, Dr. Sasha Seltzer-Braid, thank you very much for joining us to discuss this.
Thank you so much, Connor.